If the mind is to emerge unscathed from this relentless struggle with the unforeseen, two qualities are indispensable. First, an intellect that, even in the darkest hour, retains some glimmerings of the inner light which leads to truth. And second, the courage to follow this faint light wherever it may lead. And this week's opening quote comes from Carl von Clausewitz. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, I'm in sunny old England at the moment, folks. Actually, it is a little sunny today, which is quite a surprise, and it is certainly all systems go here in the British Isles at the moment. The terror attack that happened in Manchester just the other day, this happened on the final night of the AV8 conference that I was attending in the Midlands. We found out the next morning as we were all packing up to leave that there had been an apparent suicide bombing at the arena in Manchester. This very much appears to be yet another false flag staged event, folks, and this is further implicated by the fact that we are virtually seeing a state of martial law follow this event in Manchester. British Prime Minister Theresa May has declared that she will be deploying 5,000 troops onto the streets of England. Of course, this may be a gradual deployment. They've begun by putting 984 troops on the streets of London already and are set to escalate that sometime in the near future to keep the people safe, of course. And there is every indication that this event was staged precisely for this purpose, as is usually the case, folks. As with the 7/7 bombings that happened in London, as with the recent attacks that happened on the bridge in London, and as with most of the terror attacks we see around the world, such as 9/11, these attacks are all staged by government in order to further the agenda. And there is always the number play as well. The number 22 seems to be quite prevalent in this attack. Of course, it happened on the 22nd, the same as the last attack. And many attacks prior to that all seemed to fall on the 22nd. And it was also almost immediately announced that 22 people had died and had been carried out by a suicide bomber who also happens to be 22 years of age. Very interesting stuff, folks. But all, of course, one big coincidence if one is to believe the mainstream media. Something that very much indicates this to be a play, folks, is the responses that Theresa May has been giving to the media in all the questions surrounding this event. When people question her and ask her about the victims and question her about the bombing, she spends a little bit of time talking about the victims, of course, focusing on the 8-year-old girl. And that should be very significant that that was one of the first names released, folks, was that of an 8-year-old girl. They do like to play on the heartstrings of the people and let the people know that there have been children killed and you need to support your government to stop the killing of children. But what she is mainly focused on in all of these conversations is glorifying the police and rescue workers. This, of course, is being done to justify the deployment of 5,000 troops on the ground and to shift blame away from who could have possibly caused this problem. I mean, praising the government and praising the police and the anti-terrorist forces straight after a terror attack seems to be very strange when, if this is real and it was actually terrorists that had come in and got this done, wouldn't it be the government that is the blame and the police that are the blame for not doing their job properly? But really, it's all about glorifying these people to justify the further deployment of these people. You know, she's very, very careful to do this, folks, to praise the police and make it very clear that she's going to put more police on the ground and give the police more powers and to stress what a great job the police are doing, when really it's quite the opposite. The police are not doing a good job at all. I would suggest that if they were doing a good job, Theresa May herself would probably be in jail by now, and we certainly haven't seen that. But I do think it's very important for people to look at the rhetoric and be careful to read between the lines and look at what is really being said by this woman in these interviews. She's very much praising the escalation of the system in the wake of this event, and that should be a good indication to people what this event was really for and who's going to benefit from this event. And that's what you need to ask yourself in the case of all these terror attacks, folks. Who benefits? Who benefits? What would be the purpose of this attack? Very obviously, this attack was staged by someone who wishes to escalate the bombing campaign against Syria and Libya and to give more powers to the police, because that is the only result of this attack, and it is, of course, a very predictable result of this attack. So, who benefits from this attack? And once again, we see the main beneficiaries of this attack being the British government and the police force and those who wish to escalate the war of terror against the Muslim world. And who might that be, you may ask yourself? Which country and which government is it who would really like to see the destruction of the Muslim world? And I'll leave that one for you to think about for a little minute or two. But yes, folks, we've seen the ever-predictable escalation of the police state at home in England in the wake of these terror attacks. Of course, Theresa May has said this is just for a little while, that troops will be deployed on the street just to keep the people safe while the threat is critical. But we know how this goes, folks. It's usually not for a little while. It's usually something that ends up being permanent because, of course, the threat will never go away, not while the war of terror continues. Of course, they may just put them there for a little while just to test the waters to see how they go. But if they can get away with leaving them there, then you can rest assured that they will do so. Something else that should be a little noticeable in this as well is that even though Theresa May says she is deploying troops to keep the people safe, she has not deployed the troops in any areas which would be indicative of her doing so, but has instead deployed the troops around prominent government buildings in an attempt to keep the government safe from the people. That seems to be the way they always do it, folks. They go and blow up the people and then they give themselves more protection because of it. And that's something else very telling that should be seen in this, folks. Where did this bomber go and who did he attack? Well, he attacked children going to a pop concert. He didn't attack government. He didn't attack any politicians. He didn't attack anybody who was doing any of the damage to the Middle East or carrying out any of the atrocities. They just go and attack ordinary people, as is always the case. And every time they do this, the government gives themselves more protection. And folks, it's the government that stages these attacks all the time. Tried and true. We know that they have a history of doing this over the decades, over the centuries. They've been carrying out these attacks ever since Nero burnt Rome and probably before. And it's no different now, folks. It's just the same old story pushing forth the same old agenda. Another interesting turn of events in the wake of this attack was that almost the next day we saw that ISIS has launched an operation in the Philippines. This is coincidentally right as the president of the Philippines is away improving ties and creating an allegiance with Russia. We see that his country is suddenly under threat from ISIS, and this is always the way as well, folks. And it's very important to remember what ISIS is. ISIS is a mercenary army that is funded by the Clinton Foundation, DynCorp, and Israel. But there we are. We saw them roll up in the Philippines, complete with their new, brand new Toyota Humvees. Wonderful how they can get all of this equipment when they are a terrorist organization, and yet their assets just don't seem to ever get frozen, and they seem to be able to just buy anything they want and move themselves anywhere around the world that they need to be. And if people can't see that all this is theatre for the masses, then that ISIS always seems to do the bidding of Washington and Israel, then I really don't know what's wrong with them. But this whole war of terror is simply furthering this same neocon Zionist agenda, folks. And it just doesn't seem to stop. And all we've seen happen in the UK as a result of this Manchester attack is further rhetoric against the Middle East and further lockdown and police state being brought to the people of the UK. Something else that has been very noticeable about the Manchester bombing as well, folks, is that it has caused Theresa May to cancel the upcoming election. That really shouldn't be much of a surprise to anybody, bearing in mind that Jeremy Corbyn was surging ahead and over a million young kids had signed up to vote this year, all who seem to very much support the rise of Jeremy Corbyn. So nothing like a good terrorist attack to cancel an election and make sure the Tory party stays in power. That may well be what provided some quite viable motivation for this attack as well, folks. This attack will, of course, dominate the news for a while. No one will be talking about the cholera outbreak that's happening in Yemen, for example, due to the continued terrorist attacks that are being carried out against the Yemenis people by the government of Saudi Arabia. This, of course, is disguised as a war, so nobody is calling it a terror assault, which is really exactly what it is. But nobody will be talking about that. Nobody will be talking about all the other things that are going on. And I think it's always very important to keep an eye on Israel through these occasions as well, folks, because whenever there is some sort of a terror attack in Europe or England or America, Israel usually ramps things up against the Palestinian people and makes them suffer while nobody else is looking. They very much like to do this, so I would suggest that people always keep one eye on Israel throughout these events and always look for where the Israeli hand is in these attacks, because you'll usually find that there's one somewhere. Not the least of which, of course, is the fact that ISIS is in fact a mercenary force that is run by Israel and the Clinton Foundation and DynCorp. ISIS is an entirely manufactured army, folks, that is doing the will of the West under the guise of Islamic extremism, when nothing could be further from the truth. But all of it, folks, all of these bombings and all of this continuation of war, even the situation that's going on in Palestine between Israel and the people of Gaza and the people of West Bank, so much of this is theatre, folks. And when I say theatre, I'm not saying, no, it doesn't happen, it's all staged. What I'm saying is it's done for theatrical reasons. It's done as entertainment, if you will. It's done to distract people from things that are going on very, very close at home, things that are happening in their own communities, and the way their society is being reshaped and remolded, indeed the way this entire earth is being reshaped and remolded. There are many, many things happening on the ground, folks, and many of these terror attacks are distractions from these events. It's very easy to keep people distracted through the fear of terrorism, through the fear of war. When you want to get major legislation put through, it's very easy to distract people by staging external events which are going to put them in fear, so they simply don't notice what's going on the ground, right at their feet, all around them. The internet restrictions that Theresa May wishes to bring in England are quite dramatic as well. Theresa May wishes to bring about a new type of government-regulated internet, and this is very much on the cards and very much on the table at the moment. People aren't really talking about that in the wake of this Manchester attack either, and there are other things going on the ground in all of our communities which are very important for our future, which people really don't seem to be paying much attention to because of this constant fear of terrorism and this state of perpetual hatred against the Muslim world that the media works so hard to make sure is prevalent in people's minds. And as we all know, folks, government has a history of staging false flag terror attacks. I actually outlined many of these attacks, in fact, attacks that have been openly admitted by government, and just attacks that have been staged in the 20th century, in a show that I did, I think it was around about June last year, entitled A Brief History of Government False Flag Terrorism. And I suggest that you go and have a listen to that show, because it shows just how much these events are staged and just what they are staged for. It's actually a very, very common method that is used by government in order to push these agendas forward. As I said, folks, one should always ask the question, cui bono, who benefits from these attacks, because it is the one who benefits that stages these attacks, folks, always. And that is a question people just don't seem to ask anymore. Who benefits? What is the real purpose of this? And why would Muslim extremists stage such an attack when it is only going to lead to an escalation of bombing against Muslim countries and lead to a further escalation of the police state in England? Of course it was done by government, folks. It's always done by government. And there's all sorts of spin-offs that they can get from these attacks as well, folks, such as putting distrust in the minds of people. Anybody who questions government, anybody who thinks outside the box or acts in any way suspiciously, like, for example, using cash or something like that, must be reported, must be someone who is to be distrusted. And they can put all of this sort of stuff in the minds of the people, folks. They can use it to further push the cashless agenda. They can use it to further vilify Bitcoin the way they tried to do with that recent so-called cyber attack, which was very obviously staged to vilify Bitcoin. You notice it attacked everybody except for the major banks, folks. Interesting how all of these businesses can go down, and hospitals and all these things that affect the people again, but nothing that really affects the controlling hand. And always something designed to reinforce the ruling hand's control over the people. Something to create a situation where they can always stand up and say, I told you so. They can create all of these sort of spin-off mechanisms from these attacks. So let's just see where they take it. I'm sure it will provide a great justification for the new internet restrictions that Theresa May wants to bring in, and it will provide a wonderful opportunity for other countries to want to follow suit. I wonder how Australia is going to take to this, folks. Australia seems to just enact legislation based on terror attacks that happen overseas regardless of what happens in Australia. They don't really care. Any excuse they can get to lock the people down, they'll do it a little bit more. So it'll be very interesting to see how this spins off to other countries as well. Of course, France was very quick to jump to the front of the queue, and just a couple of days after the attack, they announced that they will be extending their state of emergency in France due to the Manchester attacks. So it just spins off to other countries, folks, and it's easy to see that this is all part of one big global agenda. It doesn't really matter where they stage the attacks anymore. Any country that comes under the red, white and blue colours is pretty well going to fall into line with this. And I'd say we are certainly in for a very interesting year. I think we're in for an interesting year financially as well, folks. Has anybody noticed what's going on with Bitcoin lately? In the last week, Bitcoin has over doubled its value, which is quite amazing to see. And I'm wondering what's going on with the financial markets. So I suggest that everybody keep an eye on Bitcoin. And if you are someone out there who's got some money invested in Bitcoin, well, you've just doubled your money, folks. So that's a pretty good thing for people who've been supporting these cryptocurrencies as well. I think a lot of this is because of the cyber attack that was obviously staged to vilify Bitcoin, because that's how the ransom was collected. And I think it's very important for people to notice which companies were attacked and which industries were attacked by that cyber attack as well, folks. We had certain government offices, but mainly it was things like hospitals. Of course, none of the major banks were targeted, and Bitcoin was what was used to collect the ransom. So by attacking hospitals and using Bitcoin as the ransom method, you put the fear of terrorism into the minds of the people, because, oh my God, they attacked a hospital. How could they be so heartless and inhuman? And you also put the fear of how terrorists are possibly able to move money around the world using Bitcoin into the minds of people as well. So all of these things are very carefully staged to bring about a certain mindset, folks, and it's very important that people look at the subtext in all of these events. You know, every time something like this happens, folks, there's something deeper going on. There's always a deeper play. And it's pretty well always the opposite of what the media is telling you, so that's a good rule of thumb. Just listen to what the mainstream media tells you and then look in the other direction, and you're probably going to find what's really going on. And that's how it has been with this cyber attack. There's little doubt that this cyber attack was staged by people who wish to vilify Bitcoin. And I think it has had just the opposite result, because Bitcoin has only strengthened. In fact, as I said, it has over doubled in value just in the last week, and that is pretty outstanding and shows the power of blockchain technology. But anyway, getting back on topic, something that's been really disturbing throughout this entire Manchester incident is the rhetoric I'm seeing against Muslims from ordinary people. You know, it's not Muslims that carried this attack out. It's the government that carried this attack out, because that's who benefits from this attack. And that should be obvious to anybody who's able to think. It really should. And as I said, government have a history of carrying out these attacks. whenever they want to push their agenda forward. This whole election thing with Theresa May, I mean, it's very obvious who benefits from this attack. And the Muslim world is just as outraged as anybody else. You know, there were 30,000 Muslims who marched in the street in protest against this attack. Why was it that the mainstream media did not even report this? Because the mainstream media wants to whip up this hatred of Muslims. Why do you think it is that they give all of this leeway to Muslims in the community? They bring them in, they give them all sorts of special benefits. They do it just because they want the people to hate Muslims. That's why they do it, folks. They stage these attacks themselves. They bring the refugees into the country and they give them special privileges and all of these Muslim rights because they want the West to hate the East. And they want this war with East against West. That's what they want. And it's been contrived, folks. The whole thing is a play. And I don't know why people can't see it. I really don't. It's so frustrating to see all of this anti-Muslim rhetoric when no one is looking at the root cause of the problem. You know, the root cause of the problem is government, folks. The root cause of all of our problems is government and has always been government. It doesn't matter what problem you're facing in your community, it happens because of legislation the government put in place that allows the problem to happen and to continue. It doesn't matter whether it's you paying for parking, it doesn't matter whether it's a war in Syria. It all comes from the same source, and that is government corruption, systemic corruption, the fact that the world is run by a criminal class. It's run by a kakistocracy. The worst people possible for the job have maneuvered themselves into positions where they now control all of our governments. And if you want proof that this criminal gang runs the world, then Exhibit A is the Earth itself. Have a look at the place. It's a mess, folks, because of government mismanagement. And that is the problem. And really, when you look at the deeper agenda that these people have, it's really quite shocking what they've done to the human race. And it's really quite shocking the plans they have for the human race. And the human race on whole is largely too distracted to really notice what's going on around them. Like I said, folks, there's all sorts of stuff happening on the ground in our own communities to our own lives right now. And we're not looking at it because we are so absorbed with all of this stuff that's going on externally. And that's what it's all for, folks. That's why this all continues. That's why the agenda continues and snowballs so fast. And any time there's any spark of awakening or any rise of response against the system, they just ramp it up. They create another false flag. They create another event, whether it's posturing against Russia, posturing against North Korea, blowing up people in Manchester, whatever it is. They just do it to keep us on our toes and to keep us distracted and to prevent us from what's actually and to prevent us from looking and noticing what's actually going on around us. You know, this police state that is encroaching in England and in all of our countries is something that needs to be dealt with. It really is. And when you look at the future that these people have planned, it's a pretty scary future, folks. Transhumanism, the entire nanogrid that they're putting together, the smart grid, the smart meters, everything they're putting in place, folks, it's all being done for a reason. The cashless society, it's still coming online. It's coming online in leaps and bounds. Cash is being squeezed out of many aircrafts now. You can't even watch entertainment on aircrafts now. You've got to take your mobile phone on there. They want everybody to have this tech on them. They want everybody to be enslaved to the tech. That's what it's about, folks. And it's the first world that it's happening to mainly, but it's also affecting the third world. That's how they're managing to get into the minds of the younger generation in the third world, is through the tech. That's how they're doing it, folks, through the mobile phones. The young kids in the third world are getting disconnected now. They're getting disconnected from their parents. They're getting disconnected from their friends. And they're getting disconnected from themselves. People are getting locked into a virtual world, and they're not noticing what is happening to their surroundings. And look, you know, even if you're in this virtual world, folks, you've still got to eat. You've still got to nourish your body. You've still got to have a roof over your head, even if you're wearing high-tech glasses and living in what you think is fairyland. Your body is still in this world, and you need to pay attention to what is going on in this world. And one of the hardest things that we have against us, folks, one of the biggest challenges that we face at the moment is getting this type of awareness into the minds of the kids, because so many of the kids that are coming up today through the system are embracing transhumanism. They're looking at it as something great. They're thinking Elon Musk is some sort of a savior, and that transhumanism and linking ourselves up online is going to be something wonderful that we are all going to love. They don't realize that it is going to be the ultimate mind control grid, where you are not even in control of your own thoughts anymore. And imagine living in a world where you are not able to think for yourself, and you're not able to have thoughts that you can keep to yourself. Imagine when all of your thoughts are monitored, folks, because your brain is online. When you look at how all of this technology is going and how it is being combined with nanotech, and you look at the timeline they have for bringing all this online, it's pretty scary stuff. And people just aren't noticing it because they are constantly distracted by all this external rubbish that is going on, and all of these wars which are continually perpetuated and continually fought just to keep us protesting against them. I mean, the situation in Palestine and Israel, they could have healed this many, many years ago, but they don't, because they want the outcry. Not only does it bring in revenue to Israel, but it also creates a public outcry. It also creates a distraction for people so that they are fighting something externally, thinking they can change it, when they're not paying attention to the world around them. I mean, the only reason I've addressed Palestine so much and Gaza so much is because it provides a legal key for those who believe law is real. But we can't ever fix it through the legal system if we don't develop the nous in ourselves to do so, and we don't develop the will in ourselves to stand up for ourselves. I mean, that's ultimately what it's going to come down to with everything, because no matter what sort of charges we attempt to bring against this cacistocracy or stop what's going on in Gaza or anything, there isn't a legal system or a court anywhere that is going to give us justice in all this. And the best we can hope for bringing any type of action like this online at all is to demonstrate to the people that the legal system is fiction, and that there is no law on this planet, and that we need to revert to natural law and take the matter in hand ourselves. That's the best we can hope to do from that. But whatever it takes to do it, folks, we need to do it soon, because the timeline is very much escalating and the agenda is very much escalating. Things are going forward in leaps and bounds since the Trump presidency came online, and many people simply aren't noticing it because, as I said, they are kept locked into all of these external distractions. But I think we've reached break time here, folks, so I'll have to leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So yes, folks, the world certainly has escalated into chaos since Trump took office, and we've seen nothing but an escalation of the Zionist agenda, an escalation of the Yinan plan, the deal that Trump just made with Saudi Arabia, where he promised the Saudi Arabians $460 billion. This is actually the biggest deal that has ever been given to Saudi Arabia. An excellent post by a friend of mine, Thailand Vincent II on Facebook, dealt with all of this entire plan the other day. Trump has in fact signed the biggest weapons of mass destruction deal in history with the Saudi royals. And the Saudi royals are the founding fathers of ISIS, ladies and gentlemen. And the deal that Trump has signed with the Saudis, he has given them 7 times Russia's annual defense budget. And meanwhile, Trump has formed a pan-Arab Wahhabi military alliance spanning 55 Arab states, dubbed the Riyadh Declaration, which is going to create a new alliance between Saudi Arabia and the Zionist regime next door, and very likely has the potential to lead to a third world war. Trump has called on all Arab states to destabilize Iran while enriching the American-Saudi Arabian alliance and supporting Israel's expansionist policy. The old Oded Yinan plan, folks, it is in full swing under the Trump presidency, and he seems to be the new front man for the Yinan plan. And another thing that's happening, folks, is that Trump has demonstrated so much support for the rogue state of Israel that the state of Israel is really pushing the boundaries with what it can and cannot get away with. And we've got Benjamin Netanyahu now calling openly for the assassination of President Assad and claiming that they also should be looking for the head of the next snake, which is Iran. And this is all about balkanizing Syria and destroying Iran, destroying any possibility of anybody standing up against this system and naturally destroying any state that does not want to have a Rothschild-controlled central bank. That's what this axis of evil has always been, folks. It's simply been those who do not want to become enslaved to the central banking system. This is basically what World War II is about as well. This is why Hitler was vilified the way he was. And no, ladies and gentlemen, there was no Holocaust. And I don't mind who vilifies me for saying that, but when you look at the evidence, what you're going to find is that there simply is none to support the official narrative. 6 million Jews did not die in World War II. The whole thing has been a charade, and the whole thing is what has built all of this system that we see now. All of this is riding on the back of the Holocaust. That is what has allowed the Jewish infiltration into our governments, and that is what has allowed the migrant influx into Europe. That's what has allowed these people to get away with all the things they've gotten away with, folks. And yes, that's who is doing it. It is this Zionist mechanism that has interfered with all of our governments and the criminal cacistocracy that rides the waves beneath them and carries out their agenda for them. And all of this is going on right under everybody's noses, and there's nothing anyone can really do about it because they're all protesting the wrong thing. And while this is going on, folks, while all this stuff is happening overseas, we are seeing an enormous escalation in police powers at home. Because, of course, there are many people going to be protesting what is coming, and they can't have that. They need to have police and military on the streets to squash these protests before they happen and get everybody into a mind state where they realize that, well, we can't really protest because if we do, we're going to get stomped on. That's the way it is, folks. They want to put the fear of government into the people's minds so that the people will not stand up against what's coming. And the agenda is most certainly going forward in leaps and bounds, in fact, faster than I've ever seen it go forward before under the Trump presidency. And like I said, folks, it's all interrelated. This terror attack in Manchester, it's the same thing. It's the same people doing the same thing. And it's about time we woke up to it, because all of this stuff is a play, and it's all being done for a very good reason, and that is to control the response to what is coming down the pipe. And honestly, folks, what is coming down the pipe is control beyond what anybody can imagine. And no, this isn't fear-mongering. And look, I've come onto these radio shows and I've spoken calmly, eloquently, politely for at least 9 or 10 years now, trying to wake people up to the fact that we have a clear and present danger. And that's the thing, folks. We do have a clear and present danger. You know, I don't do this because I want to be a celebrity or I want to be a guru or I just enjoy coming onto the radio and talking to people. I do these shows because it needs to be done. I bring information to people because the people need this information, and I try to do it in such a way as to empower people. I try to alert people to the fact that there's a problem, and I try to suggest or at least offer solutions that may lead to some remedy for this problem. I may not always get it right, but at least I try to offer solutions, and I really attempt to help people feel empowered in the face of all of this information, because some of it is very, very confronting. And it is. Some of it can really get to you. Sometimes I have a hard time sleeping knowing some of the things that I know. And there's some things that I even wonder whether I should share with people, because I'm unsure as to whether people will still feel confident in themselves and feel like they have the power to change things. And that's the reality of the situation, folks. We are in a state of clear and present danger. And this whole system is locking itself down. The cashless grid is going to come online soon. Internet censorship will come online soon. There's been so many things that have been leading to this. The whole fake news meme, the whole flat earth movement, all of this sort of stuff has been designed to lead to internet censorship. That's the purpose of it. And it's been very, very successful so far. So we've really got to watch the direction we're being led and watch what is happening to our freedoms right under our noses while we are so concerned with all of this stuff that's going on overseas and all of these wars. And look, these have to stop. All of these wars and conflicts have to stop. But the only way they're going to stop is when we start taking control of the situation here at home and realize what is really running this whole situation and who's responsible for it all, which again is our governments. And it's our tolerance of this behavior, our tolerance of this corrupt legal system, and our tolerance of all these laws they're bringing in and these wars they're waging, which allows it to continue. So it's about time we wake up to ourselves, folks, and started uniting with the community around us and withdrawing our support from this system. And again, this is something that I'm attempting to organise to begin on the 15th of each month, a day of non-compliance where everybody stays home or at least doesn't spend any money. And I'd like to see this take off and become something more than just the 15th of each month. But we've got to start somewhere. So that's something I'm trying to do, folks. Just start withdrawing support from this system, because that's what's going to stop things. That's what's going to bring the whole system crashing down, non-compliance. That's how we do it. And all we have to do to really pull it off is to unite with the people around us. And really, it shouldn't be that hard to unite with people. All you've got to do is break down the barriers, because most of the barriers that we have with people are contrived. They're fictional. You know, and all this hatred towards Muslims and all of this buying into the rhetoric, folks, don't buy into it. It isn't the Muslims that are the problem. Sure, there's a lot of rapes and a lot of bad stuff going on in Europe, and I am not denying that that's happening. These people aren't Muslims. They're migrants. These are people who've been brought into your country by your government to do exactly what they're doing. And if you want to stop the rapes in Europe, stop bombing Syria. The way you're going to stop bombing Syria is if you withdraw support from your government, stop buying into all these fake terror attacks that they're staging. That's the thing, folks. All these Muslims and migrants want to go home. They don't really want to be in your country anyway. They would much prefer to be back in their own countries. But anybody who's out there raping people, these aren't Muslims, folks. These are non-religious people. Because anybody who follows their faith to any religion is not going to be out there raping people. You know, they may pretend to be Muslim. The government may tell you they're Muslim or whatever, but they're not. They're just migrants, and they're people who've been brought there to do exactly what they're doing by your government. Look into it, folks. Look at the Kalergi Plan, the Coldenhove Kalergi Plan, penned in 1928, which outlined the genocide of the people of Europe by mass migration. This was penned by Jewish authors, and this is exactly what is going on in Europe now. And what is going on in Syria and the surrounding nations is the Oded Yinnan Plan, also penned by Jewish authors, where they outline their plan to balkanize the Middle East and turn the whole place into Greater Israel. And that's what's happening, folks. And it isn't happening because it's a home for the Jewish people. It's happening because it is strategically the best place to own, the best place to be, if you want to control the rest of the planet. You know, it's strategically the best place to be because you're in control of most of the world's resources, you're in control of the global shipping routes, and you can pretty well strike any other nation from that point, and not many people are going to want to hit you because you have all of the shipping routes and all of the resources around you. It's a very good place to be, folks. And no, it's not the Jewish people who want to do it. It's those who control the system who want to do it, which may not necessarily be the Jewish people. The Jewish people are as much a pawn in this game as anything else and anybody else. You've got to look beyond that and see what is controlling the whole thing and where this plan is going. And where the plan is going is a transhumanist nightmare where everybody is controlled. And once the Western world is transhumanized, then they will be sent out to transhumanize the rest of the world. And as I said, this is already going ahead. The disconnection of the youth we're seeing through technology in the third world countries, it's going ahead in leaps and bounds, folks. And this is one of the plans that is underlying all of this other agenda. They have to destabilize the world and bring about this whole World War III scenario in order to lock the whole world down into their police state cashless grid. And then there will be no one who can respond to the transhumanist grid and the digital grid that is being rolled out underneath it. And that will be the ultimate digital prison. And it's all rolling ahead, folks, and it's all rolling out. And unfortunately, the kids are embracing it because of the tech that they're using and because of their movies they're being subject to. You know, things like Ghost in the Shell and all of the movies which glorify transhumanism and lend people to the mindset that this is going to be a good reality, that they will actually be in control of their own lives, where nothing could be further from the truth, folks. Once you lock yourself into that world, all your thoughts will be monitored, and no, you will not be in control of your life. You will be part of a hive mind, and that is not what we want to do. It really is not the place that humanity should be going. And imagine what it would be like to be a child, born into that reality where you are instantly online the moment you are born, and all your thoughts are controlled and monitored, and your creative potential is limited to what the system wants it to be. That's the world that we are heading into. That's the world that our children will be growing into if we allow it to happen. And it is happening, folks. if you look at some of the plans of people such as Elon Musk and Ray Kurzweil, I mean, Ray Kurzweil is completely insane, folks. This is a man who wants to dig up his dead father and resurrect him from DNA that may be found near his grave. I mean, these people are insane. And Ray Kurzweil's plan to send intelligent AI out into the universe to harness anything it finds and bring it back to improve our own intelligence. I mean, this is a madman who wants to create the Borg, who has an insane fear of death. So when you look at this stuff, you see how the agenda is being pushed forward, folks. And it's not only in that arena that we're seeing it pushed forward. It's also being pushed forward by the medical industry. If you look at some of the work that is coming to the foreground now regarding vaccinations and how these biological environments are being set up in people, it's a very, very sobering scenario that we are facing. And this is what is underlying this whole plan, folks. That's what the true agenda is to lock the human race down into this digital control grid. And it's happening very, very quickly because people aren't really paying attention to it. And if they are, they're not really looking deep enough at what the real agenda is. Something that I said in my 2012 release, my film that I put out in 2012 called Transformation, I talked about the transhumanist agenda in that film, and I suggested that vaccines were being used to set up biological environments which would lead to transhumanism. And this is true in many respects, folks, but there's also another agenda to the vaccine situation that I've recently been made aware of. What's happening with these vaccines, folks, is that vaccines are tailored for specific types of viruses. Say, for example, if you get a meningococcal vaccine, that vaccine will be tailored for a specific structured meningococcal. If then your body comes in contact with a meningococcal which is structured differently, then the antibody that it produces is not going to be effective, and vaccines are essentially weaponizing other forms of diseases. That's what they're for. These vaccines are being given to people to completely compromise their immune systems and in order to weaponize other viruses. The vaccines are making it possible for large amounts of humanity to be taken out via a pandemic. And when you look at some of the conversations that have been had by Bill Gates, one conversation that he had, one interview that he did where he's sitting in front of the camera and he said that if a pandemic were to strike, whether natural or man-made, it would devastate blah, 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 blah. But the fact that he suggested that it may be man-made, and while he was saying this, his left shoulder was jerking around uncontrollably and he looked like he was lying through his teeth or at least hiding something very important from the conversation. And what appears to be happening, folks, is the human race is being set up for a massive hard kill. And this is why the vaccine programs are so prevalent. This is why they want blanket vaccinations across the earth. It isn't to protect people. It's to make sure that everybody is compromised so that everybody will be subject to this pandemic. And when the pandemic is released, the rulers, the powers that believe they be, will simply be underground in their underground bases, because we know these bases are everywhere, and they will come out a year or so later once the air has cleared. And this may sound like fear-mongering, folks, but really it's not. When I'm looking at all the information that is coming to light and all the places my research is leading me, I have to call it the way I see it, and this is the way I see it. The human race is being set up for a massive hard kill, and we're being kept distracted by all of this stuff that's going on around us. We're not looking at what is going on right before our eyes and right under our noses. And all of this very much ties into the whole transhumanist thing, folks, and it even goes deeper than what I've told you today on the show, but this is stuff that I'm still researching, and I want to be kind of sure of myself before I start mentioning these sorts of things on the air. But what I'm looking at the moment is some pretty amazing technology that is being used to control and manipulate the direction that humankind is going. The AI that is coming online is quite frightening, folks. There's actually a paper that was released by the White House last year. I think it was last year. It may have been the year before, but I think it was last year. And the document is entitled A Federal Vision for Future Computing, a Nanotechnology-Inspired Grand Challenge. And this is the document that has been released by a whole bunch of collaborating agencies, the Department of Energy, the National Science Foundation, the Department of Defense, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, and the intelligence community. And it's a paper that represents a collective vision from the collaborating federal agencies of the emerging and innovative solutions needed to realize the nanotechnology-inspired grand challenge for future computing. It describes a technical priority shared by the multiple federal agencies and highlights the challenges and opportunities associated with these priorities and presents a guiding vision for the research and development needed to achieve near, mid, and long-term goals. And when you look at what these goals are, folks, basically these people are mapping the human brain and they are working out how to implement a very, very effective control grid. I do suggest that you Google that title that I just gave you. You'll find a PDF of that document and look into it, folks, and look at the plan that they've got and look at the time frame they have for this plan, because they intend to bring this online within the next 10 to 15 years. The outline that they've got in the document is for a 15-year plan, and this was put forth last year, so that is now reduced to 14 years. And it all seems to be going full steam ahead, folks. So when you can combine this nanotechnology vision they have with the vaccination program and the war program and everything that is going on and all of this stuff, folks, you've got to understand that it's all interconnected. There is no little mechanism that is happening which is not connected to some other mechanism. You know, the nanotechnology is connected to the smart grid, is connected to the vaccine grid, is connected to the war situation, the war on terror, the police state, all of this stuff. It's all the one thing, folks. And you've really got to step back and look at it and see what the system is that is being constructed around us. Now, when you look at it, it's a pretty freaky thing. And that's something that I really want to bring to people in this new film as well. But there appears to be even deeper aspects to it, metaphysical aspects, electromagnetic aspects. Really, when you look at the experiments that are being done with CERN, I mean, all of this ties together, folks, and nothing is what it seems. Nothing is the way we are told it is. There seems to be a much, much deeper agenda, and look, I'm sure this isn't news to anybody. Everybody knows there is a deeper agenda, and everybody knows that we are not being told what anything is about, really. But there's not too many people that are sitting back and putting the whole thing together and looking at the whole big picture and realizing that it's all interrelated. There's not a lot of people that are combining CERN with vaccines and figuring out what all this really means and where it's all going. But the whole thing is all one big play, folks. The Earth is being run by some very, very devious forces that are leading humanity in a direction that we really should not be going. And unfortunately, through the rise of technology, the kids are embracing this reality. They're not really seeing where they're being led. And people my age and people who do see it are unfortunately getting old now. We'll be dying out soon, and that's what they're waiting for. And unfortunately, the kids that are growing up into this tech are not going to have the capacity to really be able to think about it too clearly, because they're not going to have the foreknowledge of what the world was once like. They're not going to have anything to rationalize it with. They're not going to have anything to compare it to. The reality that they enter into is going to be a very, very different reality to the one that we know, and it is going to be dominated by virtual reality. You know, what are these kids going to be thinking? Are their thoughts going to be anywhere near their own? And how are they going to be able to ever express their creative potential? You know, the situation that we are allowing to be constructed for our children is intolerable, folks. It really is. And the kids simply can't see it. They think Elon Musk and Ray Kurzweil are heroes. They think that the plan that these guys have for the future is going to be something beneficial. But these people are mad. They're completely insane. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. And this whole online system, I mean, even if you want it, folks, if you really want to go down that path, if you really want to have your mind hooked up online, if you really want to be part of this whole transhumanist agenda, at least you should be given the choice as to whether you want to be part of it or whether you don't want to be part of it. But to have children being born into it without ever being given that choice, without ever being allowed to blossom the way a young mind should, this is simply unacceptable. And when you look what's done to these kids now, the vaccine regime that they're subject to, all the toxins that are pumped into their bodies at such a young age, all of which compromises their immune system, all of which sets them up as a good source of income for Big Pharma, and all of which enslaves them to the system. and all the damage that's done to them. Anyway, I've spoken about circumcision on past shows. This is an insidious operation, an insidious program, which destroys the capacity of males to really think clearly and have free will. It destroys the bond that they have with female. It destroys a great many things about what it actually means to be a male, and I've spoken about this on various occasions in the past. But so many things are done to us, folks, and we are really seriously walking on a knife edge at the moment. And no matter how much I try to come onto these shows and be positive, sometimes I've just got to call it the way I see it. And what I see, folks, is a real nightmare unfolding, and I see it going forward in leaps and bounds since the Trump presidency has come to being, and I don't see too many people talking about it because so many people are still stuck in this left-right paradigm. And it's really disturbing to see how much of the independent media has dropped the ball on this. You know, one thing good is that much of the independent media has certainly exposed themselves as being the players that they are. I mean, Alex Jones has certainly lost any credibility he may have once had, and the same is happening for many other independent media outlets as well. But we really are on a knife edge at the moment, folks, and it's about time we wake up to ourselves and started calling things for what they are and started spreading this information around our communities. That is the most important thing we can do. Spread the information and stop complying with this system. If we do that, we'll really start making a difference. And really, that is the only thing we can do, folks. We have to withdraw support from the system because it is we who hold it up, and that's the way it's always been. Well, we have reached that time again, ladies and gentlemen, where we are getting very close to the end of the show. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave it pretty well here. I am speaking this weekend in England at Swindon at the Truth and Freedom Conference with Mark Devlin and a couple of other people. It's going to be a great gig, folks. There's only room for about 100 people at that gig, and that is at full capacity. So if you want a ticket, there are still a couple left, but I would get in very quickly if you intend to come to that gig, or you're simply not going to make it through the door, unfortunately. So do come along to that one. It's going to be a great gig. As I've said very often on the last few shows, this is going to be the last tour that I do for a while. I am going to be speaking at the Open Mind Conference in Denmark around about September, but that is September. There may be a gig that I end up doing sometime in the meantime in LA, either in July or August as well. I'll keep you posted as to whether that's going to be happening. And I'll be also speaking at the Open Mind Conference in Ireland in March next year, but that's a good way away. And I'll, of course, be speaking at Acapulco next year. There is a combo workshop that is happening in November on the Big Island in Hawaii, and there will probably be another one happening in March next year as well. And that will be the last anybody sees of me until at least 2020, because I'm going to be taking some time off and working on the new films. So I want to try to get both the films I'm working on done over the 2018-2019 period and have them both released by at least the beginning of 2020. I really would like to get these films out, folks. I think it's important that the information that I'm putting in the films to get out to the public as quickly as possible. So that's one of the main reasons I'm having time off the road. It's not really to have time off. It's not really to have sabbatical the way people may think I'm doing. It's simply because I have such a hefty workload and I can't really get it done while I'm touring. So I'm going to have time off to try to get these films out. And then I'll get back on the road as quickly as I can to get this message out to as many people as I can and continue the path that I'm on. I think it's an important path, folks, and I think there are many people on this path, and I think it's very important that we stay on this path and we continue to awaken the masses. But that is it for me, folks. Thank you to everybody who supports the website. Thank you to anybody who can make a contribution to the Patreon account. Please, if you can, I really do need the support, folks. It's the only income I've got at the moment. It's the only thing that keeps me going. Someone has also opened up a fake Patreon account. I'd like to make you aware of that. There's a fake Patreon account that has 4 subscribers at the moment. It actually has a picture of me on the account, and it has a embedded YouTube video of my conference at the Boom Festival in Portugal. It's an account that is pretending to be me, that is collecting donations, but these donations are not going to me. I've complained to Patreon, but they haven't done anything about it. The account is still up there. So if you are one of the 4 subscribers to that account, I would suggest you delete that subscription immediately and use the link on my website or the link that you will find below the YouTube version of this clip to get to my genuine Patreon account. It's very disappointing that someone would do this, and I would suggest that this is simply an attempt to undermine my work and to remove financial backing from me. So it's a pretty low act, folks, but someone's done it, and it really doesn't surprise me in this current environment. But do make sure you're subscribing to the correct Patreon account, folks. You'll find a link to that on my website, and thank you to all those who do. That is it for me, folks. I'm going to have to leave it there for now. I'm completely out of time. I'm not sure if I will be able to bring you a show next week, but I will definitely get one to you the week after if I don't get one to you next week, and I'll try to keep them coming as regularly as possible. Please take very good care until I speak to you next. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.